Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 11. These are some passages I want for us to reflect on this morning. On this third Sunday of Advent, as we focus our attention on the Lord, Isaiah chapter 12, beginning at verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I love that imagery. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, people of Springfield. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Now turn to Matthew chapter 11 in your New Testaments. Matthew's the first gospel. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Beautiful words from our Lord that I refer to often. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, here's this word again, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I've been reflecting on these passages all week. I figured it out. It dawned on me. It occurred to me why our culture is so on edge. Why people are so angry. Why people are so grouchy. Why people are so hostile and uncivil. I figured out why there are so many Ebenezer Scrooges. And why some people are Oscar the Grouch. And why some people are a combination of Ebenezer, Oscar the Grouch, Scrooge. It dawned on me that our culture is like this because people are restless. There is an agitation, a sinfulness, an unsettledness within the human heart that if gone unchecked will only grow in despair and desperation and disillusionment. The great St. Augustine put it this way. He said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord. And our hearts are restless until it rests in you. Our hearts are restless until we find rest in you. Think about it. How grouchy do you get if you don't get a good night's rest? I'm not going to mention any names, but the two people that I live with are a little irritable today, and I'll tell you why. Because the neighbors across the street from us had their Christmas display on all night long, including the music. And so the first thing I hear when I get up is, oh, I didn't get any sleep at all. The neighbors kept me up, and they're a little on edge today. That's what a lack of sleep will do for you. Me, on the other hand, I have discovered something called earplugs. Earplugs! You put one in one ear, and you put the other in the other ear. And for me, it was a silent night. All was calm. I slept in heavenly peace. But sure enough, this morning when I stepped outside, there was their display, and the music was going on. And so we get this way when we don't get enough rest. Anyone with little kids knows this to be true. Your kids start to act up because they're tired. They're irritable. But our culture, our world, will continue to devolve deeper into duress and despair until this restlessness issue is taken care of and dealt with. Charles Wesley, who was the 6-time Grammy Award winner, James Taylor of his generation, realized this and had some things to say about it. And I've been talking about Charles Wesley. It's estimated that he composed around 6,500 hymns and poems over the course of his lifetime. But also, like his older brother John, he was a pretty good preacher in his own right. Probably his most famous sermon was the evangelistic sermon entitled "Awake, Thou That Sleepest," that he first preached in 1742. And I want to read to you just the very last paragraph of that sermon. Now remember, this is, 279 years ago, but could still be easily preached today, as it's applicable today. This is just the last paragraph of Charles Wesley's sermon. "My brethren, it is high time for us to awake out of sleep before the great trumpet of the Lord be blown, and our land become a field of blood. Oh, may we speedily receive the things that make for our peace before they are hid from our eyes. Turn thou us, O good Lord, and let thine anger cease from us. O Lord, look down from heaven, behold and lift this vine, and cause us to know the time of our salvation. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. O deliver us and be merciful to our sins for thy name's sake. O let us live, and we shall call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of thy countenance, and we shall be whole." The sermon series that we are in for Advent is based on Charles Wesley's great hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. I talked about that last week. And here's the phrase I want for us to meditate on this week. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. You see, what God has in mind for us is peace. Peace on earth. And that begins in our hearts and flows outwardly into the world. God wants to give us rest. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, tired, anxious, burned out, hopeless, and I will give you the one thing that this world cannot give you, and that is rest, peace, salvation, joy, all the things that only come from God that you cannot get anywhere else. Let us find our rest in Thee." We are distracted on so many fronts with promises of buy this and your life will be better, buy that and things will go much smoother. You need this, you need that. We are bombarded on every side with the promise to give us what we desperately need, but only that which God can give. But Jesus said, "I will give you that peace, that assurance, that redemption, that deliverance that can only come from me." Until that day when Christ returns a second time and brings peace throughout the land, that rest, that peace, that assurance, that joy God gives us will be tested. Yes, we live with a peace and an assurance in our hearts, but we all know that we live in a culture that is going to test us and test us hard. You know, Friday night, we had a great time here at the church. It was probably the funnest Christmas party we've had here at the church in 2 decades. It was just fun. I mean, I had a blast. I sat next to Peter on one side, and he's a hoot. And then I sat next to Zachary on the other side, and he's just a delight. And I just sat back during that party, and I just watched you guys have the best time. I mean, we just had a great time. So much food. Oh, my goodness. The desserts. The birthday cake. Thank you. I mean, it was just so much fun. And I just sat back, and I enjoyed watching you enjoy yourselves. It was so much fun. We had a great time. It was amazing. It was absolutely a wonderful time. And then I went outside afterwards, and I go to my van, and I go to open the door to my minivan, and I see pieces of broken glass on the seat, on the driver's side seat. And instantly my heart sank because I knew what had happened. And I looked up, and the passenger side window was completely shattered. Ah, that was frustrating. It was almost as if all that joy and happiness and peace from spending 2 hours with you was just gone. And I was mad, I was upset, and I went into CSI mode, you know? I'm looking around. You know, they have CSI Miami, and they have CSI Vegas. Well, I have CSI Springfield, you know? And I'm looking around, I'm going to catch this guy, you know? Looking back, I know why they did what they did. Some of you know that one of my hobbies, I love going to thrift stores and finding great deals. I mean, I have found some really, really good deals. And earlier that day, on my way to church, I stopped at the thrift store, and I found this really, really nice laptop bag. And it's the one that has wheels on the bottom, and so you can... I mean, it was a really nice bag. I looked it up, brand new. If you were to buy one brand new, they're about $80, $90. This bag was marked $14.99. But get this, it was half off that. I paid $7.50 for this really cool bag. And I was excited. I snatched it up, and man, it was in great shape. But... silly me, foolish me, I really wasn't thinking because I was excited to have my Christmas party with you. I set the bag right on the passenger side, right there, that anybody that looked in would be able to see it, and not only see a nice bag, but think, oh, there's probably a laptop in there. And sure enough, during the party, somebody smashed my window, which, you know what, I'm grateful that it was my car and none of your cars. I mean, there was a parking lot full of cars. And somebody was intent on getting something that night. And I'm grateful it was mine and not yours. But it was a smash and grab, and they were gone. To their surprise, I'm sure they opened it up and they saw that it was empty. Because I brought my laptop inside. It was frustrating. And we called the police, and a nice officer came, really timely manner. He took some pictures of the broken glass that was all on the ground. He took a police report. So if you see somebody walking with a really nice bag that has a thrift store tag on it, I want you to call Officer Dunlap at the Springfield Police Department and give them case number 210-8654, because I want my bag back, okay? But he came and took the report. He was very nice. You know, Micah was with me outside. A couple of others of you were with me as well. And Micah told me later, he was this close to telling the officer, "Officer, I want to report another theft. Someone stole my beef jerky, and I want to press charges." I was upset, and a couple of you have told me you've had similar things happen to you when you get violated. It's just not a fun feeling. I went home that night just kind of upset, and I literally had to be reminded by God to not allow the enemy to steal the joy and the peace and the rest that Jesus gives me. And that's something we may have to do more often in these days that we're living in. And just be reminded by God Himself, do not let anyone else steal what God has given you. The joy of His salvation, the peace that passes all understanding, the rest for our souls that only come from Him. Then I woke up Saturday morning to see the report of the terrible storms that tore through 6 states, many tornadoes, which is unheard of in December, and to see dozens upon dozens of lives lost and many more missing and utter destruction across those states. And all of a sudden, whatever issues I was dealing with paled in comparison to people who were truly suffering and truly in anguish. Our rest in Christ will be tested. And for many people in that part of the country, they're really hurting. And they are really in anguish. Whatever little tiny minute issues we're dealing with, our hearts break for people who've lost everything. Loved ones, homes, businesses, entire communities demolished in just a matter of minutes. Our rest will be tested in these days that we're living in. It's what the whole book of Job is about. Job was a godly man, a righteous man. He did nothing wrong. He didn't sin against God. And yet the adversary came and tested him like no one's ever been tested before. And in just a few series of events, he lost everything. He lost his wealth, lost his family. In many ways, he lost his dignity. He lost his health. Things were tough. He was tested. And we will be tested. We are not promised heaven until Christ returns. And there will be difficult times. And maybe you're going through a difficult time as well. We will be tested. But you know how the book of Job ends? Job had an incredible resilience and faith in God that we need. Because the book of Job, in chapter 42, verse 12, ends like this. And this is a promise for us as well to hold on to. "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first." So the first part of Job's life, God had blessed him, and he was a blessed man. The middle part of his life, was horrible. And he was tested. But he passed the test. He never cursed God. He never wavered in his faith. Were things tough? Yes. Did he weep? Yes. Did he feel abandoned? Yes. But he held on. He didn't give up. He didn't let go. He found his rest in God. And the promise here is, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. And I want to encourage you as well. If your faith, your peace, your salvation, your joy, your rest is being tested, hang in there. Hold on. For the promise is, what's coming next will be even greater than what you've ever experienced in the Lord before. Amen? Let us find our rest in Thee. Before we read our responsive reading, I want to draw your attention to this amazing verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And this is my prayer for all of us in these days that we're living in, as we're being tried and tested on every side. These were the Apostle Paul's closing words to believers there in Thessalonica. He says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself, may the God of peace give you peace," get this, "at all times and in every way." And regardless of what you're going through, the God of peace can give us and will give us and offers us peace and rest and assurance in every circumstance, in every way, and at all times. And I want you to hold on to that. When you feel as if you are being tried and tested, hold on to that which only God offers, and that is peace and rest and assurance. Take your hymnals and turn to responsive reading 160. Messiah brings salvation. We're going to read this together. I'll read the regular print. You read the bold print with me. And we'll read this. And then I want to play for you the hymn, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus," for you as we just sit in the presence of God and receive His gift for us today. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you."
Deliver, born.
Amen. If you're going through a hard time right now, you're dealing with sorrow or sadness or uneasiness or confusion, I want to point you again to Jesus, who delivers us, who saves us, who redeems us, and is the only one that can save us. Jesus offers us something that we cannot find anywhere, and it's rest and peace.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.